I want the Lord to help me preach tonight. I've had this, I guess I've had this in my Bible about every service. That is not customary for me. Usually I'm a one bullet guy. I've only got one thing in my Bible. Amen. But this has been here all week long. I felt like sometime or another this week I would preach it. And I want to try to deliver my heart. I want to validate some. I don't like spending time trying to validate everything I say while I preach. At home I tell them, if you ain't figured me out by now, you probably ain't going to. Amen. But I will say, I ain't been here long enough for probably all y'all to figure me out. Amen. But Philippians chapter, and this is not my text, I just want to read this to you. Philippians chapter 3, verse number 12. Not as though I had already apprehended. This is what I want you to know about me before I preach tonight. Not as though I had already apprehended, neither were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which I also am apprehended of Christ. Amen. I don't claim to have a hold of everything just like I need to. Amen. But I am trying my best to get a hold of what got a hold of me as a young boy. I want to get a hold of it just like, amen, it got a hold of me. And I come tonight to preach. I am not preaching from a pedestal. I'm not preaching from a high place above us. I am preaching with Ezekiel. I sat where you sat. Amen. I'm one of us, but I want to help us corporately, amen, as the body of Christ. All I've ever done is pastor, and I have a burden for the church, the holiness people. Amen. I want to see God help us. Ecclesiastes chapter number 10, the book of Acts chapter number 4. Amen. Just one verse of scripture in either place. And I trust the Lord. Amen. Ecclesiastes chapter 10, would you stand with us? In reverence to the reading of God's word, then we'll read one verse here, then we're going to go to one verse out of the book of Acts, chapter number 4. Ecclesiastes 10, verse number 8, he that diggeth a pit shall fall into it, and whosoever breaketh a hedge, a serpent shall bite him. Acts chapter number 4 and verse number 23. Now, I just want to read the first part of this verse, if I may. And being let go, they went to their own company. Amen. I'll give you a title, amen, before I get done here. But, amen, God bless you. You can be seated tonight. Amen. I want to talk to us some tonight about boundaries. Boundaries, rules, restraints. Amen. All those restrictive things in life. Amen. I feel like you would honestly say with me that boundaries and rules and restraints are vital to our lives. They are necessary. It is imperative that we abide by rules and restraints. There are several different types of law, and I don't want to get too deep into that, but there is natural law, and we must abide by natural laws. One of the natural laws is the law of gravity. Amen. Contrary to whether you want to obey it or not, amen, the law of gravity is constraining to your life. The natural law of time and space that we must contend with. There are social laws that have been given. Laws that really their only effect is for safety and for the betterment and for order, law and order in society. There are moral laws that have been passed by men, moral standards that have been delivered to us, amen, meant to protect life and to secure the blessing of liberty. And then there are divine laws. Amen. Those laws that are instituted, amen, by a sovereign authority that are not subject to the opinion of men, that are not subject to the democratic process. Come on here. Amen. Divinely instituted by God. Amen. Boundary lines. Amen. Like those lines on the road. That white line on the right side. And I hope I got that right. Amen. I'll have us driving backwards if I don't. Amen. Those yellow lines in the middle. Am I backwards? Amen. Those lines, amen, they're meant to keep you in the road. Amen. You need to abide by those roads, by those lines. If you don't, amen, you get too far to one side, amen, you're going to run into somebody. If you get too far the other side, you'll find yourself in a ditch. Amen, it's best to keep it between the lines. Amen. Amen, I'm talking about boundaries, rules and restraints. Amen, like a mother limiting, amen, the number of cookies or how much candy her child can have. Amen, not because she wants to be mean and to deprive that child. Amen. She wants him to eat supper. Hey, amen. So those little rules and restraints, oh, they're blessings. Amen. Blessings the Bible gives us. Amen. About boundaries. Hosea chapter 2, verse 5. For their mother hath played the harlot. She hath conceived, she that conceived them hath done shamefully. For she said, I will go after my lovers that give me my bread and my water, my wool and my flax, mine oil and my drink. Therefore, behold, this is God talking. I will hedge up thy way with thorns and make a wall that she may not find her pass. Amen. The divine mercy of God. Amen. Said, I'm going to enforce some restraints on her life. Amen. So she don't do, amen, what she has purposed to do. She shall follow after her lovers, but she shall not overtake them. She shall seek them, but shall not find them. Then shall she say, listen to the result of God some boundaries. She will say, I will go and return to my first husband, for it then was better with me than now. Amen. God said, I'm gonna hedge her path in, and that hedge is gonna cause her to see the error of her way, and she's gonna return, amen, to her husband. Had God let her go without restraint, amen, she'd have wound up in trouble. Amen. But God loved her enough, amen, to put boundaries in her life. Amen. I want us to understand here tonight, amen, that God ordained boundary lines. Oh, yes, he did. Go all the way back to the book of Genesis. Boy, I wish I could preach tonight. I feel like my voice is about to walk off and leave me here. Amen. Genesis chapter 2, verse 15. And the Lord God took man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. All right, everything's good so far. We've got a garden, and we can have anything we want in it. Then verse 17. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Amen. God said, I'm going to let you have all this garden. Amen. Freely all you want of it. That is all except this one tree. Amen. And around that tree there was no wall built. Amen. There was no fortification there. Amen. But there was a law. There was a boundary. There was a restraint. Amen. God said, don't eat of that tree. For if you do, in the day ye eat thereof, ye shall surely die. Amen. I said, God builds boundaries. In Exodus chapter 19. Amen. Moses is going up. Amen. To talk to God on the mountain. And this is what God tells Moses. The Lord said unto Moses, go unto the people and sanctify them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes and be ready against the third day. For the third day, the Lord will come down in the sight of all the people upon Mount Sinai, and thou shalt set bounds unto the people. Round about, take heed to yourself that ye go not up into the mount nor touch the border of it. Whosoever toucheth the mount shall surely be put to death. Come on here. Amen. God said, I'm putting a boundary. Amen. Around this mountain. Amen. The Lord came down. Amen. On top of the mountain. And the Bible said in verse 20, Moses went up. And the Lord said unto Moses, go down. Charge the people lest they break through to gaze. And many of them perish. God said, you need to warn them again, Moses. Amen. There's a price for breaking the boundary. There is a penalty for breaking the boundary. Oh, God. Amen. The people cannot come up into the mount. Verse 23. For thou chargest us, saying, set bounds around the mount and sanctify it. Amen. The very principle of sanctification. Amen. A sanctified life is a life that has boundaries in it. Oh, help me preach, Lord. Amen. Let's go over to the book of Ezekiel. I'm talking about boundaries and their building. In Ezekiel chapter 44 and verse 23, here's what God told the preacher. Thou shalt teach my people the difference between the holy and the profane, and cause them to discern between unclean and clean. He said, preacher, it's your job to set boundaries. Listen, well, preacher, you just don't understand. There's a lot of issues that are controversial. Hey, man, I'm glad you brought that up. Let's keep reading. Verse 24. And in controversy, they shall stand in judgment, and they shall judge it according to their opinion. No. They shall judge it according to what everybody else around says. No. They shall judge it according to my judgments, and they shall keep my laws and my statutes in all mine assemblies, and they shall hallow my Sabbaths. Amen. I understand we're living in an hour where every man's a commentator to his own, amen, ideals. Amen. But God's mandate, amen, for the preacher man is to set boundaries, and it's controversial. Understand, we leave controversy alone, huh? But that's not what God said to preachers to do. He said in controversy, amen, that preacher is to make a judgment based on the judgments of God. When we choose silence in controversy, we always side with the enemy. Come on here. When we fail to put our voice on one side or the other, we always stand with the opposing forces. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. I'm talking about the boundaries and their building. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Let's get some New Testament here. Amen. Chapter number 6, verse 14. Boundaries. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? And or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them, and will walk with them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you and will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Oh yes, God ordained a boundary line. Now I realize we're in modern society who has fashioned the thinking of many modern church members. There are no absolutes Everything is subject, amen, to private interpretation. Amen. God knew such an hour was coming. Amen. That's why he moved on the apostle. Amen. To tell us that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. Amen. For it came not by the will of men, but holy men of old spake as they were moved on by the Holy Ghost. Amen. God knew there would be an hour, amen, where everything would be subject to the consensus of the people rather than the counsel of God. Amen. Our society says there are no absolutes. But guess what? They're absolutely wrong. Hallelujah. Amen. They are absolutely wrong. Amen. Because God's Bible is a book of moral absolutes. It is not a book of moral suggestions. Amen. It is not a book of moral good advice. Come on here. Amen. It is a book, amen, of God's giving, amen, absolutes. Amen. And there are some things, amen, that need to be forever settled. Not because brother so-and-so said, but because God said. I heard Randy Webb preach years ago. He said, talking about reading books, and he wasn't preaching again. And I sure ain't. I love books. Amen. But he said, you know, brethren, he said, it's amazing how much light the Bible will shine on them commentaries we're reading. But do you know what we do? I've done it. We get something we feel like we need to preach, and we'll read all the commentators, and we'll write down their name, and we'll to quote so-and-so, so-and-so. Amen. To back up, to validate what the Bible says. But the Bible don't need man's validation. Amen. The Bible don't need, amen, me to say, I think God's Bible's right. Amen. The Bible simply declares, let God be true and every man a liar. Amen. In other words, it really, amen, don't matter what I think about it. What really matters is what God, amen, Almighty said about it. And God emplaced and imparted in our lives boundaries. Amen. But because of a society who wants to live without restraint, we're dealing with boundaries and they're breaking. Amen. We're in an hour, and it's went on for years, but even worse in American society, where all restraints have been cast off. Amen. I was born, I guess it was still going on someplace. I didn't remember any of it. Amen. But I was born after, amen, I wasn't born until 74, so I was born after the Flower Child Day and the hippie movement. But you know what all that was about? It wasn't about protesting war. Amen. It was about casting off all restraints. That free love movement, amen, it was about, amen, taking everything that was sacred, everything that was moral, everything that was absolute, amen, and casting it away and making it subject to the whim and the opinion and the cravings of a depraved society. Come on here. Amen. That has never, amen, been healed in America. Amen. But generation after generation, amen, has continued to cast off all restraints until now in the United States of America, and paid for, amen, by your and my tax dollars, thanks to Obamacare, is abortion on demand. Did you read that 2 weeks ago? Amen. They said it wouldn't happen. Amen. But the documents are already come out. The numbers are already out. Amen. What they said would not happen has taken place. They're paying for abortion on demand with tax dollars. No restraints. And that's why we're almost up. I think the last number I had was 19. 18 states in the District of Columbia who have made it legal for homosexuals to marry. Huh? amen, being challenged. Amen. In Virginia, in this state, it's being challenged. It's being challenged in Kentucky. There were two lawsuits I read in the paper at home just a few months back. There's two lawsuits already been brought to bring into question the Marriage Act in Alabama. They're seizing it all over the country. Why? Amen. When less than 3%, according to the last Pew Research, less than 3% of Americans, amen, claim to be homosexual, but their voice is so loud. Amen. Here it is. Amen. People that don't live that way, amen, feel like nobody has the right to say how anybody else lives. You know, when Korah rebelled against God, there were more people killed and by the judgment of God that sympathized with Korah than there were with those that actually rebelled with Korah. Amen. God killed over 100,000 because they sympathized with Korah. Amen. Just a handful that actually committed the wrong. Amen. Legalized marijuana. Amen. Amen. Out in Colorado and different other states. Amen. Legalized prostitution. Right here in America. Amen. They name it different things, but that's what it really is. Amen. A society that feels it's acceptable to have open marriages. Open marriages, in other words, there's no moral obligation to be faithful. Huh? Fidelity is to the world foolishness. Huh? Come on here. I'm talking about a society that's cast off restraints. Amen. They're educating our children. Amen. In public schools, not about history, at least true history. Not about science and mathematics and all those things that are needful for a productive society. Amen. They're giving them courses on sex education. Immorality, come on here. Amen. Almost every state in the union is required to include homosexuality in the education of elementary children. A society that has cast off all restraints. Amen. But remember what the wise man said. Whosoever breaketh a hedge, a serpent shall bite him. And you and I are seeing the bite of the viper in America with over 55 million, amen, aborted innocent babies. Amen. We've been bit in society when disease, amen, and suicide is running rampant in our country. Amen. The poison of the serpent is infecting us. Overcrowded prisons and rehabs that have revolving doors. Amen. For they'll be back. Our testimonies. When you live without boundaries, there's a price to pay. Amen. In America, where more children are born out of wedlock than are into the sanctity of the marriage vows. Hosea 8:7 said, "For they have sown to the wind, and they shall reap the whirlwind." Amen. When you read those words out in the original, amen, sown to the wind. Amen. It literally means a puff of breath. Just to blow at it. Amen. But they're going to reap the whirlwind. And that word there means a hurricane. A violent, fierce storm. Come on here. Amen. You may plant one seed, but there'll be more fruit than one. Huh? Amen. And that's the society that you and I live in. Deuteronomy 27:17. Cursed be he that removeth his neighbor's landmark. Amen. The destruction, the casting away of the boundary. Isaiah 5:20. Woe unto them that call good evil and evil good, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. The breaking of the hedge. I'm trying to hurry here. Acts chapter 4, verse 23. I read to you. Amen. There's a saying. There's a saying about men. Amen. Some say you can know a man by the company he keeps. Amen. But I think really that definition a little biblical refining. I believe it would be more correct to say You can know a man by the company he would prefer to keep. Amen. Our scripture text said, in being let go. Now this wasn't talking about heathens here. Amen. This was talking about Peter. Amen. And John, I believe. Amen. When they were let go, they went under their own company. That's where they wanted. As soon as the restraints were removed, amen, they went where their heart was. Amen. But that applies for the wicked as well as the righteous. Amen. When restraints are removed off a person's life, amen, they gravitate in the direction that their appetites and their desires have been leading them. Amen. Are you with me here? Amen. Holiness children, amen, have little choice, at least, amen, the ones that grew up in my house. Amen. They have no choice. Amen. About what they wear. Amen. They're going to wear, amen, clothes like a holiness person wears. Amen. They have no choice. Amen. About where we go and where we don't go. Amen. That's my decision. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. I know there's this ideal. Amen. Well, I think they need to make their own decisions. I'll tell you what I think of that. Alabama English here. Hogwash! Amen. I think that's hogwash. Amen. There, you paying the bills. Amen. You putting food on the table. You giving them a place to sleep. Amen. They live in your house. Amen. You're responsible for them. Amen. According to the word of God. Amen. Was Eli a fornicator? Amen. Was he a son of Benal? Was he guilty of wickedness? You can't find that on his life. Amen. But his condemnation, amen, was his sons did vilely, and he restrained them not. He had biblical obligation, amen, over their lives. And mom and daddy, you've got a biblical responsibility, amen, for those living in your house. Oh, homeless children. They really don't have much say-so. Amen. At least till they get old enough to pay their own way. Huh? Amen. But you can know their heart by where the direction they gravitate toward. By the friends they always are drawn to. I don't know how we ain't been in a whole lot of restaurants. Y'all been feeding us so good here. Amen. But at home, about every restaurant you go into has television. You know, homeless people still preach again those. Yeah. Hallelujah. Boy, I didn't get many amens out there. Yeah. Amen. Amen. At home, when I don't get many amens, I always stop and kick that can around a little while. Amen. 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 Homeless people still preach again television. Amen. Whether it's 42 inches or 2 inches. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. But at home, amen, just about everywhere you go, amen, there's the television. And I've watched that young people. We got several young people. I can always tell when one of them's not doing good, amen, by where they sit in the restaurant. They sit to where they can get a good view without it really being too obvious. But it's always too obvious. Huh, come on here. Amen. Come on. They always want to be around those friends. Amen. Who have things in their home that are not allowed in your home. Amen. That go to places that you don't allow. Hey, are you with me? Amen. You can tell a lot about them. Amen. By the crowd they assimilate to. Amen. When the restraints are gone. When the rules and the boundaries are removed and being let go. They went into their own company. Amen. I wonder just what shape some of our churches would be. And I'm not preaching that about this church. I'm talking about our churches. If the pastor was removed and the restraints were gone. Huh? Amen. The telltale sign of that, just watch their lives. Amen. If they ever get that church hopping spirit. Huh? Amen. They'll move over yonder where the preacher don't preach the same thing. And all of a sudden things start changing in their house. Come on here, the restraints are gone. And people go to their own company. In Luke chapter 15, there were two sons living in that household. Y'all pray for me. I'll try to hurry and preach here. Amen. There were two sons living in that household. Amen. They both sat at the father's table. Amen. They both wore the father's clothes. Amen. They both slept under the father's roof. They both enjoyed the father's love. Amen. But as soon as the restraints were taken away, amen, that younger son, he took all that he had and he left for the far country. One preacher said it this way: before the dust of the far country was on his feet, the dirt of the far country was already in his heart. And when the restraints were gone, he went to his own company. Titus chapter 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 4. And Demas had forsaken me. Now he wasn't the only one that left. Read the rest of that scripture. There were some other guys that were no longer with Paul. But he was the only one that had this commentary. Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world. I believe Paul knew when he left. He could tell by the direction he was headed. Amen. What was wrong with Demas? Come on here. Hey, oh God. Amen. When the restraints were gone. Amen. When he was let go. He went into his own company. What about Acts chapter 20? Amen. Old brother Eutychus. He's sitting there enduring that long-winded preacher. And that preacher preached longer than I preached any night this week. Hallelujah. Amen. He's enduring that long-winded preacher. Amen. You can tell a lot about his location. Look where he's sitting. Amen. He's sitting in the window. Amen. Just an observation here. Amen. He looks like to me he's as much in as he is out. Or he's as much out as he is in. Amen. All I know, amen, when he fell down asleep, he slumped down, he fell out of the window. When the restraint was gone, where did he fall out? He fell out. Amen. Malachi chapter 4, chapter 1, verse 4 speaks of those on the border of wickedness. There may not be nobody like this in Northern Virginia, but I'll tell you, I preach to some in Alabama who always live on the border. Come on here. Oh, Lord, I'm about to feel like preaching. I need to get here and get done here. Amen. You know that crowd. Amen. That border dwelling crowd. Amen. They're the ones that always want to know, Brother Savage, how long is long. Because that's as long as they intend to have it. How much is too much? Because that's exactly where they intend on living. Amen. They do not want to know the lines. Amen. So they can stay far away from them. Amen. Oh no, they want to know the lines. Amen. So they can live just as close to them as they can. Come on here. Hey. Amen. We've lost. Amen. That spirit of holiness. Amen. That makes us want to get as far away as we can. Amen. We got a lot of border dwellers. Hey, come on now. Amen. They want to see how close to the border of wickedness. You know, there that crowd that says, well, my preacher never named it. Huh? If I had to name everything that I'm against, I'd never get to preach anything else. Hey, amen. All I'd be able to do is just stop and say, we'll continue this again tonight. We'll continue this again tomorrow night. Huh? Hey, amen. Ezekiel chapter 22. Lord, I hope I can preach to you. Amen. Her priests have violated my law and have profaned mine holy things. How'd they do it? They put no difference between the holy and the profane. I read to you where God said he wants them to show them that. But they didn't do it. They have neither showed them the difference between unclean and clean. They have hid their eyes from my Sabbath. And I am profaned among them. Amen. It is a shame. Amen. If a preacher's testimony is he don't never preach again, nothing. Huh? Come on here. God help me. Well, it's a little quieter than I like for it to be in a holiness church. Amen. I'm talking about boundaries and they're breaking. What would you do if you knew he wouldn't say nothing? Where would you go if you knew nobody in the church would find out? When the restraints are gone, amen, the borders are broken. Amen. I'm getting to my closing here, and this is where my title is coming in. Most of y'all will probably never meet on this side of eternity a man by the name of Brother Randy Turner. He lives down in the big city of Enon, Mississippi. Y'all ever heard of Enon, Mississippi? Probably not. Amen. But Randy Turner is a great country. He is a country guy. Amen. But he's a good living wholeness preacher. Just a lay preacher there in Brother David Usselton's church. Brother Randy Turner, I called him and made sure this story was just right. This is his story. He said he was driving one day and just on some old country roads down in his area. And he said, I come to this place where I noticed the cattle. I seen a bunch of cows standing around, and as I drove closer, I noticed the fence was broken down in places. It had been left unkept, and that fence was literally laying on the ground in places. And in other places, he said, I couldn't even see it. It was completely gone. What stood out to Brother Randy, amen, as he watched that, amen, he said, you know, I've seen cows go down the road and they got a good pasture and they've got their head stuck through the fence. And they're eating that grass on the outside of the fence. They want out so bad, he said. But I noticed, amen, not one of those cattle was trying to get near the border. Amen, not one of them was trying to get out of that restraint. Hey, come on here. Amen, seemed like they understood, amen, that getting out would be worse than staying in. And Brother Randy Turner, I'm borrowing his title for my message. Amen, and he said the fence was down, but they didn't want out. And that's what I want to preach to us just a few more minutes tonight. Amen. I understand the hour that you and I are living in. And I know that in a lot of places, the fence has been let down. Amen. But I want to let you know, amen, I don't want out. Amen. He said them cows, he said they was fat. They were healthy. They were so well taken care of. He said it appeared to him there wasn't nothing outside that fence that had any attraction to them. They had everything they wanted. They had everything they needed inside the fence. Come on here. Amen. David said it this way in Psalms 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. A little boy, he misquoted it one time. He said, the Lord is my shepherd. That's all I want. But really, that's the right way too. Amen. I'm happier with my shepherd. Oh God, help me. Help me, Lord. Give me some wind here. Amen. Exodus chapter 21. When a man was sold himself as a bondservant, he was required to serve 6 years. But on the seventh year, he's a free man. He could walk out. Amen. He could leave that hoe of corn undone. Stop right in the middle of it and walk off. Amen. If he was building a stone wall, he could leave the rocks piled up and walk off and leave it. If he was bringing the master's food and that time came, he could set it down. Amen. And walk out and leave it if he wanted to. Amen. But the Bible said, if that servant shall plainly say, I love my master, I will not go out. Amen. I realize the hour you and I are living in. Amen. There's compromise on every corner. Amen. There's worldliness all around. Amen. But I'm glad there's still a few people. Amen. That love the master. Hey, they fell in love. Amen. With the shepherd. And the fence may be down. Amen. But I don't want out. I said the standard. Amen. Somebody may be letting it down. But I don't want out. Oh, yeah. I tell them at home, I said, modern America beats Baskin Robbins. They got 31 flavors. Huh? Hey, man, you can go out of this church, get on these roads, in these hollers, up these mountains. You can find you any kind of church you want. Come on here. Hey man, you can probably find some churches you never even dreamed was around and some beliefs you never thought anybody believed. If you want out. I said, if you want out, come on here. Hey, amen, the fence is down. The standards, the convictions. Amen, folks are finding an easier way. Amen, but I want to preach to you, I don't want out. Amen, I said, I don't want out. Now, amen, I got to hurry. I realize there's some things I could do if I wanted to. Amen. Just watch our people. And I'm not against the wholeness people. Please don't misunderstand me. But I'm not an ostrich either. I ain't got my head stuck in the sand and don't know nothing that's going on. Amen. I told you where I came from. And I'm afraid a lot of areas. Amen. I don't know much about this area. But in a lot of areas, amen, the independent wholeness people are less than 20 years behind the Church of God. Amen. And we got high speed service pushing us even faster. Come on here. Amen. Look at the entertainment. Amen. That has slipped in among us now. Yeah, I hope you don't lose confidence in me. I hope you don't throw me away over this. Amen. But I started pastoring, in 1994. I was 20 years old. We'd been raised Church of God. We lived a good standard. Everything we knew, brother, we lived it. I never had heard television preached against. We didn't have cable. We didn't have satellite. We didn't watch just any kind of movie. No language. No nudity. No magic. And we thought we were very strict. Until I heard our brother Don Rich preach on a message called "What Did the Little Chicken See?" I never had heard TV preached on. Amen. I said, wow, at God's tight. You know what I did? You know what me and my wife did? Amen. We went to prayer about it. We began to ask God, Lord. Amen. We never have heard nothing like that. Amen. What about it? And I felt a pull. Amen. God pulling me His direction. Amen. So before my girl that's with us tonight was a year old, and she's fixed to be 18. We got rid of our television, our VCR. We didn't know what a DVD was back then, huh? Hey, man, we got rid of all that stuff. And that was the end of it in the Holcomb house. And it still is. Amen. I realize, amen, what the wholeness preachers preached out of a movement has come back in strong force. And we've got wholeness people that go to wholeness churches that have, I don't know, I guess it's a card. I don't know what it is. I see them all over the red boxes. Amen. Them video rental places there at Walmart at home, there at the Dairy Queen at home, a red box. I heard about something else. I never have seen none of this stuff myself, but amen, Netflix. I reckon that's something you get online. Amen. And we got people that go to wholeness churches. Amen. That are watching that stuff. Huh? On here, don't get quiet on me now. Amen. Amen. Watching DVDs. Amen. Hey. Amen. Come on now. Amen. YouTube. That just means your television. That's all that means. Don't get quiet. Fence is down. Well, preacher, I'll just tell you, I know a bunch of good brethren that don't preach again. You're right. The fence is down. If you want out. Huh? My little home church was the Church of God. Hey, man, but they preached again going to the fair. They preached again going to the ball game. They preached again going to amusement parks. Hallelujah. Amen. While I was Church of God, amen, I heard about some of my people going off to Dollywood. And I had to get real plain. I said, I heard you went. Amen. Maybe you didn't know it was wrong. But I want you to know if I hear about it again, I'm going to turn you out of the church. Amen, because we don't go to the places of the world. Amen, we love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, are you with me? The love of the Father is not in him. Amen, I understand. Amen, we got people that attack Christian and conservative and family value to everything. Amen. Amen, you know, it don't matter what it is as long as you say it's Christian. Christian rock. Christian TV. Hey, man, I read an article about Christian gothics. Amen. The preacher in the thing who's witnessing the Gothics, getting them won to Christ, said that he had participated in drinking blood with them. Christian. He was licensed with the Church of God. Christian Gothic. Christian rap music. Christian romance novels. Christian videos. Christian jury. Amen. In America, we've even got Christian homos. That's what they say. You know, you attach Christian to anything, it makes it all right. Fence is down. You understand? You don't have to listen to old knucklehead preacher from Alabama. Amen. Tonight's my last night. Amen. You don't have to put up with me. Amen. But you need to know. Amen. Just because the fence down don't make it right. Just because you can, amen, do it and still claim to be Christian, don't mean you can do it and still go to God's heaven. Hey, amen, come on now. Amen, I realize there are a lot of things, amen, that have changed. Amen, I realize we are living in a high-tech society. Amen, I preach the same standard on the internet at my church that I always have, education and business only. It is dangerous. Amen. You can click that thing and go anywhere in the world you want to. Amen. 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 I realize, amen, social networking is a big deal among a lot of people. But I'll just tell you, amen. Everything I know about it, and I don't know a whole lot about it. Amen. It's used as a gossip tool. Amen. People that are doing that are busybodies in other men's matters. Amen. Getting on there wanting to know what time somebody eat breakfast and what they had and where they went. Huh? Come on here. I ain't got time to hardly keep up with me, much less everybody else. Amen. We ain't got no reason to be busybody in other men's matters. Well, you know, it's a way to stay connected. You know, the homeless people had a social network that worked real good. It was called revival. It was called camp meeting. It was called fellowship meeting. That's how we stay connected. Amen. We went to church together. Amen. We got in the Holy Ghost and we worshiped. Hey, the fence is down. And there's probably 10 preachers to one. I'll tell you, all this is foolishness that I'm preaching. Amen. Amen. But I want to tell you, amen, I'd rather be safe than sorry. Amen. He that breaketh the hedge, a serpent shall bite him. How many messed up homes do we got to have? Huh? Instant access. I don't preach against cell phones. Don't get upset at me here. Huh? But at least twice in my pastorate, I've had to deal, amen, with situations where on that cell phone, pornography. Amen, used to be risky to do that stuff. You had to take the chance of being seen. But now you can just pull it up. And they got stuff that erases it. So people can't. So easy. So convenient. But if you break that hedge, you're going to get bit. Huh? But preacher, you just sound too, you're too worried about things. I trust my children. Do you? You trust them? How long does it take for them to scar their lives forever? How long does it take? Moments. Moments. See things they'll never erase. Amen. Come on here. Amen. There's a lot of ex-sinners in here. I'm one too. Amen. Sin leaves scars. Amen. There's things you remember sometimes. You have prayed, begged God to forgive you, and He gloriously has. But it ain't erased it. Sometimes that'll roll back in on you and it'll crash and it'll break your heart and you'll cry and you'll plead and you'll beg God, but it's there forever. Amen. Is it worth jeopardizing the purity of another generation just so they can have the latest gadget and gizmo that's coming down the road? Amen. Amen. I understand the hour we're living in. And maybe I am old-fashioned. Amen. I'm just reading an old-fashioned book. Amen. Stand ye in the way and see and ask for the old path. Where is the good way? Walk therein and ye shall find rest for your souls. Amen. My girl just got married last year. It'll be 2 years ago this December. My oldest girl, one that got the Holy Ghost when she was 8 years old. She married a good holiness boy. He was the one that got the Holy Ghost when he was four. Their wedding, he moved over to our way. And while they were still courting in their engagement, amen, when they walked up in that church, I escorted her down the aisle. Amen. First time they ever touched, I put his hand in hers, her hand in his. The first time they ever kissed was when the preacher said, "You may now kiss your bride." How you know, preacher? Because they were never alone. Not one time for 1 minute. You don't trust your girl? I sure do. But I don't trust the flesh. I don't trust the devil. Huh? And you know what my girl told me with tears running down her cheeks? She said, "Thank you, Daddy." She said, "I know people would tell me your daddy sure is hard on you." He said, "But thank you." She said, "I have no regrets." She said, "I have no regrets." Amen. She can go. She talked to a couple other boys before she married that boy. But there was never anything that went on. She can look at anybody she ever talked to right in the face. She don't have to be embarrassed. She don't have to be ashamed. Come on here. Amen. There's some things that are priceless. Amen. And keeping purity in an hour of perversion, amen, is a priceless commodity. Hey, I understand. The fence is down. Amen. But I'm not interested. Amen. In getting out. I want to stay in the blessing of the boundary. I want to keep a pure heart. I want to keep a pure mind. Amen. I want to be part of a pure church that he might present it unto himself, a glorious church, not having spot or blemish or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blame. Amen. It's going to take people that lived in the boundaries to be part of that church. And you can laugh at me and mock me. Amen. Make fun of me now. Amen. But after a while, I'm going to say goodbye, world. Goodbye. Amen. If I get to heaven and God said, "Preacher, you didn't have to do all those things." Amen. I'm not going to get mad and say, "Well, I'm leaving." You know what I'm saying? Be upset about it. Amen. I'm going to count this world but dross that I might win Christ. I'm going to say it was worth it. It was worth every sacrifice. It was worth every standard. It was worth every boundary. Heaven will be worth it.
Stand with me all over the house.
Amen. Amen. Preacher, you want to give this off? I'm going to sing a song. Amen. What about you tonight? Amen. Y'all brethren, come help me get ready. We're going to sing. Why? Honey, come on. Girls, y'all come help me. Amen. We're going to sing here. Amen. But what about you? Do you regret living inside the border? Hallelujah. Do you regret living inside the border? Hallelujah. I come from a broken home. Amen. I told you about it the other night. Amen. I do not regret, amen, having my marriage from the time me and my wife got married to this day, almost 23 years. Amen. Of living inside the boundary. Amen. Come on here. Hallelujah. Amen. I have been blessed. Amen. Living inside the boundaries. I don't want out of this thing. I want to get in. Amen. What about tonight? Amen. Can we gather up in these altars? Find us a place to pray. Recommit our homes. Recommit our hearts. Amen. To living the standard. Living a separated, sanctified life. Amen. Can we come pray about it? Amen. I don't agree with some of it, preacher. All I ask you is bring it to the altar. Amen. Before you go call somebody and tell them, amen, come talk to the Lord about it. Amen. See what he says about it.
Come on.
Thank you, Jesus.
God